God says that he who speaks his word must speak it faithfully, and the one that despises the word brings destruction upon himself. As we speak God's word this evening, may he help us to be faithful in that task as we consider our text from Romans chapter 1, verses 13 to 18. Now, I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that I often planned to come to you, but was hindered until now, that I might have some fruit among you also, just as among the other Gentiles. I am a debtor both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to wise and to unwise. So as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first, and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. This is God's word before us this evening. Please be seated. Dear friends in Christ, how many times has it happened to you that you're eager to do something, but once you get started, you lack the ability to follow through? Maybe you think of this most often with little children. Maybe they want to build a train track inside, or maybe make a sandcastle outside, and they get super excited about it and can't wait to get started on it, but it only lasts about 5 to 10 minutes, and they move on to something else. It happens to us as adults as well. Maybe cleaning the house, maybe exercising, maybe learning a new hobby. Where we have the eagerness there, we're excited to do it, but following through seems to rarely happen. However, this type of thing probably happens most often with our faith. You hear a beautiful hymn in church that evokes feelings inside, and you're instantly motivated to do something to serve the Lord. But as soon as you leave church, seems like ordinary life sets in again. Or you read a particular section of scripture that really touches you that week or hits home with something you're wrestling with or going through. And you see firsthand, and maybe you would say experience, the Lord's compassion. And you're eager then to maybe share that with someone else. But a couple minutes later, the feeling goes away. These things should happen because the Lord does motivate us through his word. The Lord does give us desire, and he does invoke feeling through what he has done for us. But how often do those things translate to action? How often do our eager plans get put into motion? Sadly, not often enough. Very often, the feelings we have, the eagerness we have, gives way to indifference or apathy. We feel on fire for the Lord in church, maybe on Sunday when we're around fellow Christians or something really touches our faith. But as the week progresses, it takes a back seat to everything else. The busyness of life catches up, priorities enter the scene, and we shift our focus. How do we keep this pattern from recurring over and over again in our faith? How do we turn our well-intentioned feelings, maybe even motivated by the Word of God, into action? Well, we see an example of this evening through the Apostle Paul. This whole Lenten season, we've been looking at words that Paul wrote. Words about Adam, Moses, Abraham, David, but still words that the Holy Spirit led him to write. This entire time, he's been in the background of every text that we've considered. But this evening, we look at his own personal thoughts as the Holy Spirit led him to record. What Paul tells us reminds us very much of our own struggles to put our desire for Christ into action. Paul speaks about his eagerness, but he also talks about how he's able to accomplish what he sets out to do. The first thing that we see is that Paul's eagerness was begun in the gospel. As soon as our text begins, Paul talks about his eagerness to come and minister to the believers in Rome. Up to this point, there were many things that had hindered Paul from being able to do that. First of all, Rome was pretty far away from where the central location of Christianity was at this time. Paul ministered in Jerusalem, maybe northern Judea, up into Asia Minor, but not really all the way over to Rome. The other thing that Paul was busy doing is he was going out around and starting other congregations and ministering to other Christians and other groups of believers, as the book of Acts tells us. And so Paul says his desire has always been eager to be with them, but up to this point, it was not in the Lord's plan. His eagerness comes out greatest in verse 15. He says, "So as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also." When Paul says that he's ready to preach the gospel in our text, it doesn't just mean that he feels like he's got the knowledge in place or maybe the timing's right. But what that phrase really indicates also is that Paul had the desire. He was ready not just from a logical perspective or an informational perspective, but in his heart, he had a great desire to do such a thing. And Paul goes on to state that eagerness, that desire, that motivation began with the gospel. We know exactly what Paul's getting at here because we've felt that eagerness too. The gospel message awakens that in our hearts. As Paul writes, the gospel is the power of God to salvation. The gospel is meant for all people. It has power and ability to motivate us. That motivation comes from the great love of our Savior that is given to us in the gospel. And it's not wrong for us to feel eager or to have this emotion of motivation when we hear the gospel. That's what God intends to do through it. But the question is, what do we do with that feeling? What becomes of it? And God wants that to lead to action. Of course, the other side of this is the motivation that comes from the law. Paul mentions that as well in verse 18 when he talks about the wrath of God being revealed against ungodliness and unrighteousness. Paul talks about how that can be a motivating factor too when we realize the danger we're up against, when we realize the warnings that the Lord gives us, maybe when we see ourselves in the crosshair of what God has deemed as unrighteous. That can be motivating too, but notice the difference the gospel makes. Paul says the gospel reveals God's righteousness, not God's wrath. What we see highlighted by this is how important the gospel really is to the motivation that we have. God's judgment certainly applies to all of us as well. Those who reject Jesus remain in unrighteousness and ungodliness, and those feelings can lead us to want to be better, to want to follow God more, to not live by the ways of the world. But those motivations and feelings cannot do what the gospel does. They cannot bring us to be motivated through the love of our Savior if we focus only on ourselves. It's easy in that sense for us to be courageous for the Lord when we feel like we're doing what we should be in our faith. It's easy to feel that way maybe on a Sunday when we're comfortably surrounded with fellow Christians, when we hear that reassuring word of God that makes us feel at ease and at peace again. But what about the Tuesdays and the Wednesdays and Thursdays of the week? What about when we're on our own and Satan brings that temptation to us, or we're tempted to conform in a situation in our lives when we're faced against a different belief in the world? If we go back in those moments to how well we've kept the law, the motivation's not going to be positive. Paul says that's the difference that the gospel makes. It is the power of God to salvation. It reveals the righteousness of God in Christ. And it reassures us that the focal point of our motivation and our eagerness does not have to be on ourselves, but on the one who died for us. The second part leads us to see where the action is found, as Paul talks about how his eagerness was turned into boldness and courage through the gospel. As Paul moves forward from describing his eagerness, he defines that message of salvation with great boldness. Before he even tells us as readers what the gospel is, he tells us he's not ashamed of it. Before he even defines it. And the definition that follows tells us why Paul was not ashamed of it. It is the power of God. It enacts God's love. Of course, when we think of the gospel, there is no room or need to be ashamed. But how come we don't live like that as Christians? Why is it that so often our eagerness melts away because we do feel shame for what we believe? Because we do lack a boldness to stand for Christ. Perhaps the problem, as Paul mentioned, is that we're looking too much at ourselves and not at Jesus. Perhaps it's because we worry too much about what we need to do or feel we need to do, rather than looking back at what has already been done by God. Consider Paul's life in becoming a believer. Yes, he was a notorious persecutor of Christians when he was known as Saul, but he was also a religiously devout Pharisee. He thought he was serving God. He thought he was a very spiritual person. He wrote to the Philippians in chapter 3, "If someone else thinks they have reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised the eighth day, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee. As for zeal, persecuting the church. As for righteousness based on the law, faultless." Paul was not just a persecutor of Christians. He was somebody who believed. He was following God's path. He believed, in comparison to anyone else, there was no one who could be claimed as more faultless in God's word than Paul. But Paul learned the hard way through this, that without Jesus, there is nothing to boast in, and there is no source of courage. Remember when Paul was converted on the road to Damascus? You can picture the scene of him being confronted by God, seeing Jesus with his own eyes, and trembling in great fear. He didn't have boldness. He didn't have courage, no matter how faultless he thought he was in regard to the law. That's why Paul would go on to write to the Philippians, "Whatever was considered as a gain to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ." Paul was humbled and brought to that moment by God to realize everything he thought he had accumulated with his own actions were nothing but worthless actions in comparison to Christ. He considered it loss, all that effort, all that work. Paul's focus was on himself and not on Jesus. Paul had been trained to think that he did not need a Savior. He did not need a Messiah to pay for his sins. And he learned the hard way. Sometimes we have to learn the hard way like Paul too. Sometimes we forget the lessons again that we need them to be repeated in our lives. When we allow the world to take precedent in our priorities, our eagerness and boldness for Jesus will diminish. When we fear the threats of evil and wickedness in the world, or the shouts and accusations that would keep us from confessing God's word, our eagerness and our boldness will diminish. When we try to hold back the weight of our sins with our own actions, our eagerness and boldness will not just diminish, but they will be crushed under that pressure. There's plenty of ways to fail, like Paul did. There's plenty of ways to learn the lesson that we need to learn, as Paul did. But there's only one way to succeed. Paul tells us that one way as he looks to the cross of Jesus. The gospel of Christ has the power to hold us up, to keep us eager, but also to make us bold, because it reveals his righteousness. This is the righteousness that keeps our faith going from the very beginning to the very end of life. That's what Paul meant when he wrote, "from faith to faith." Essentially, Paul was saying, from the moment you become a believer to the moment you take your last breath here on earth, the righteousness of Jesus Christ will sustain you. Whether you're just starting your journey off, maybe the baptism of a little baby, or you're near the end of your life, the gospel gets you through any obstacle. The gospel is the only thing that gives us hope when we are beleaguered by the effects of our sins. And our diminished eagerness, our diminished boldness is simply one example of that. The gospel has these characteristics to lead us in any way and in any circumstance because it is God's unique message of his salvation. The gospel is both precious and powerful. The gospel is both joyous and fierce. The gospel is both soft and strong. The gospel can encompass any scenario of our lives because it comes from an individual who has done that already, Jesus. Think of some of the depictions given of Jesus in his word. They echo this flexibility and this broadness of the gospel. Jesus is both the Lion of Judah and the Lamb of God. Jesus is both king and servant. Jesus is meek and mild, but also the eternal God. God goes to the trouble in his word to tell us these things that we would have confidence and hope that whether I feel eager or whether I feel meek, Jesus is there for me. Whether I am bold and strong in my faith or whether I am fearful, Jesus is there for me. When you need Jesus, he will be there for you just as he was for the Apostle Paul, probably the most unlikely of all candidates. And he continues to come to you, to encourage you, and to call you in the very same way through his word of truth. We conclude our message this evening by looking at another example of Paul from the word of God. This time, not one of his mistakes or faults, but one of his successes. In that letter to the Philippians, which was one of his final letters, which Paul wrote while he was in prison, he would also go on to write this to them. He said, "For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain." You look at the Apostle Paul when he first came to faith, and this depiction of him when he was near the end of his life, and you see the great change that the gospel makes, that it made for his eagerness, but also for his boldness. Even in the face of death, knowing that he was going to give up his life for the sake of Christ, Paul was bold and eager to talk to others about the cross of his Savior. We might look at such a thought and think, what about me? How could I do such a thing sitting away in a dark, damp prison? Why can't I do the same thing in my life? Well, the answer is we can. We can because we have the same Savior as Paul. We have the same righteousness that was secured for us at the cross of Jesus as Paul. We have the same motivation through the gospel to make us eager in the right way as Paul did. And no matter what situation we encounter in life, no matter what the world throws our way, no matter how Satan is angry at our proclamation, we have courage and boldness in Jesus, just as Paul did. May the Lord use us, as he did Paul, to share that same gospel message with eagerness and boldness. Amen. Please rise.